What's good, everybody? It's your boy Anonymous, the author, aka Anonymous Rap Guy, and I am back with my second take of my podcast episode today, man. So I'm just trying to shoot, and apparently I forgot to cut off my light. So anyway, I'm just having a good old time. What's up, y'all? It's been a minute. It has been a minute since I have been active, since I've been on here, since I've been doing anything, man. And busy as a freaking bee. Personal issues came up, man. Mental health is a big thing. Not even with me, just with some family members. And if y'all ain't noticed, I got on the bucket hat. I'm definitely stepping my swag up. I'm sorry to be all over the place, man. It's just so many ideas and thoughts I've been wanting to get out right now. So I'm just like a volcano of speak, talk, language, words right now. But yeah, just back to what I was saying. Just been really busy with a family member of mine who has been needing some extra help, going to be a long-term care situation, and they want to keep their independence, and I'm definitely big on stepping up and being there for family, so for the time being, going to be pretty busy, man. I haven't really been posting anything on social media, but since the whole cicada fiasco has calmed down, life has really gotten better, so I'm definitely back. I'm definitely here. I'm definitely still caring for my relative. It's not like that I just left out of here and dipped and just forgot about him, but I'm still here doing what I can for him. Other people in my family have also stepped up to assist in everything that's going on, so that's a huge step. Also, the people around where this family member lives also knows the situation, and they're also like coming together. Like I know that they say it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a village to have people. Like, I know that made no sense whatsoever, but what I'm saying is basically you need a community and a village and a big group of people to come together and really, like, it just makes life easier. Like, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and then compared to like Cincinnati living to where they were living back in their hometown, it was like the hometown was a lot smaller. There weren't a lot of big opportunities that there were like here in the city in Cincinnati, which is where I'm coming from, Cincinnati, Ohio. But there definitely was a more intimate feel. There definitely was more of a connection, more of a community, more of a like, hey, let's come together and help each other out kind of feel than there is here in Cincinnati. And like, I definitely agree with that. Like, you need like a village, a community, a well-knit community that can come together, people you can trust and really step up to the plate. Like, man. I'm just thinking, like, I would not be able to live my life or come back down or function as a person if I didn't have family and if we didn't have people helping us out and if we didn't have other people helping us out mentally and like this, just like it's like a domino. Like, one thing falls, like, you need to help this family member, but then you're stressing out because it's put stresses on things in your life and relationships. But then when those relationships give you life and give you energy, it really just boosts you up and lets you know that you can help this person. So shouts out to family, man. If you ain't talked to your family in a minute, just reach out to them. Even if y'all argue, even if y'all fight, like, that's what family is. Like, that's part of what it is. I'm not gonna act like I never got yelled at. Not like me and moms or me and grandpa or me and auntie or me and a great aunt or me and cousin or me, you know, anybody haven't argued or fought or, you know, been upset at each other, or they've been disappointed in me, I've been disappointed in them, like, vice versa. Like, whatever it is, it's always like, whatever happens, it's like, we still family. Like, I'm still gonna see you at Thanksgiving. Like, you still gonna be there at Christmas. Like, I might be mad at you for a day or two, but I'm still gonna see you in a little bit. Like, don't forget the cheesecake. Like, let's eat together. Like, let's sit down, let's squash it. That's just how family is. Like, now to the rest of you monks out there, like, don't get it confused. I'll fuck you up, bro. Like, that's just what it is. But with family, it's like, it's always words. It's always like, I'm upset at you. It's like, I hold a grudge for a month. Like, at the most, like a month or two, because so many holidays, man. Like, in my family, we get together, especially after this COVID thing. We're just kind of like finding reasons to get together or going to find reasons to get together. And we always get together for like hella holidays, like whatever holiday you can think of. We're getting together. Somebody's cooking something. Like, it's like, I know y'all familiar with the black potluck. Everybody brings something to the table, or at least put some money towards a plate on the table. And that's how we do, and everybody's just missing. Everybody's just trying to get together. So I know sometime soon we're going to get together And it's just impossible to be mad at somebody when you see them somewhat frequently. Like when you're forced into a situation to see people, like even at work. Like, I mean, that's what I have conflict resolution. But conflict resolution in like black family is just Big Mama or just somebody mama stuck in. Like that's conflict resolution right there. Either y'all gonna talk it out or y'all just gonna have to fight in the backyard. Like that's how it's handled. Like, look, how mad is y'all? Can y'all squash it? No, man, I'm mad at it. Well, then just fight in the backyard. Well, I ain't that mad at him. Well, then shut the fuck up and sit down somewhere. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. Yeah, I'm just glad to be back. I'm just glad to be mentally back. I'm glad to be physically back. I'm glad to be in better spirits. Yeah. So, how y'all been? It's been a lot going on in the world. Apparently, Bill Cosby is coming home. I didn't even know he had already served 3 years. His sentence was from 3 to 10 years, so his case was up for appeal, and they appealed it with the Supreme Court, and they did uphold it. And people are mad as hell that they overturned it. I'm sorry, they upheld the appeal, meaning they overturned the verdict. And people mad as hell, man. They overturned on a technicality. That's what people are really, really upset about. It's not even over the facts. It's not even over about the specifics of the case. It's actually over the fact that some of the evidence used to convict Bill Cosby was used in a trial that he agreed to testify in. And since he testified under, like, I'm willing to testify, I want to be immune, I want to have immunity, they shouldn't have been able to use that in the conviction. And since they used that in the conviction to convict him for his sexual crimes, that should never have, if they would have just not used that information, he might not have been convicted. But if they wouldn't have used that information and he was still convicted, and he was convicted, then he would still be in jail right now. But since they used that same kind of that same evidence in that test, that same testimony as evidence in the case to convict him, then it was overturned because it should have never happened, which has got to suck for the prosecution. Huge win for the defense, man. You've got to love when you actually don't have to fight the case. You can actually fight. You don't have to fight the facts of the case. You can actually fight something clerical or something, some irregularity that was incorrect. I'm like, that's a huge win for the defense. For the prosecution, oh, that's a toughie. That is a toughie. Like, y'all, you should have known going in, you shouldn't have used that information in order to convict. Like, you should have. I mean, that's why I think that it was it must have been. I didn't follow the case really, man. Like, shout out to Bill Cosby, but I don't watch the news like that. Like, I don't really give a damn about Bill Cosby. Like, I don't. It ain't, he ain't that important to me. To be honest with you, and I know this is gonna be controversial, but I wasn't a big fan of the Cosby Show. Okay, hey, it is what it is. All right, look, everybody hold him in high regard. He's a legend of blah blah blah. I like the Bill Cosby himself, but I mean, it is what it is. I think his stand-up is much better than the TV show, which is the opposite of Seinfeld. I think the Seinfeld show was great, but I think his stand-up is a little meh. But hey, Seinfeld is Seinfeld. It is what it is, even though Andrew Schultz is a hater and disagrees, but whatever, right? So yeah, Bill Cosby's coming home, man. He did his 3 years, and he is going to be a free man. He gets to enjoy his millions. He gets to come home. They said he was helping prisoners in there, which, I mean, I don't really care about. Like, I don't. If they're not coming home, it's like maybe they appreciate it. They got to meet a celebrity, so that's pretty cool. But all in all, it's like, bro, I'm in jail. Like, you're not gonna enlighten me, bro. Well, I guess a lot of people do turn to religion in order to pass the time. So maybe he did help people. Maybe he did change lives and touch souls. But what I think is that he was just on his Cosby ish in there, like, yo, y'all better respect me. Like, do y'all remember the show I had? Like, he just seems like an arrogant dude. But hey, he out. Shouts out to Bill Cosby. I do respect him. I will try to get back into the Cosby Show. It's just some of that, like, some of those 90s sitcoms, man. It's not even just Bill Cosby. It's just a whole bunch of the 90s sitcoms. They'd be rough to watch. Not a lot of them translate to, like, 2020 watching. Like, a lot of them be like, ah. Even I just got finished watching SpongeBob. Like, watching it as an adult now, it definitely had its goofy moments and definitely, like, non sequiturs, and its one-liners were definitely brought the show together, because a lot of the dialogue is hella, hella weird. But I still like it, man. Still makes Nickelodeon like top five TV show, like top five networks. Like as a kid, like that Kids WB. I don't know if people remember Kids WB, man, but that was a like that's how you got a Silver Surfer and Iron Man. I don't people remember Iron Man. That was a terrible TV show, but it was all we had back in the day. Spider-Man was like Spider-Man and Friends set the stage for like dope. To me, anyway, super dope animated TV, and then Superman came along and Batman and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm just rambling at this point. So also in the news today, I don't know if y'all have been watching or pay attention to the NBA, but NBA Finals is popping off. It looks like the Giannis is about to get swept by Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Devin Booker is giving them boys buckets. Chris Paul is definitely the greatest player playing right now without a ring. Currently playing. I wasn't really a fan of Charles Barkley, and I'm not gonna act like I know so much about the history of the game, but currently playing that doesn't have a ring. Him and Melo definitely are two dope players that should get their ring. Blake Griffin was a good player, but I never felt like he deserved a ring. I never felt like he was, one of those type players. So I'm like, hey, shouts out to him, but he's on the Nets. If everything goes right next year, they'll make it to the finals, but I just have a feeling that Kyrie, man, he gonna throw a wrench into the works. He's definitely one of those definitely one of those wild cards that you could just never know what's gonna happen. And with the situation right now, I just feel like he's gonna be the first cog to loosen. I don't feel like the Nets are ever gonna be a dynasty with I mean, this might be a hot take, but I don't feel like the Nets are ever going to be a dynasty with those three players. If it was just James Harden and KD, and then you had like another mid-level player, I feel like it could. Well, Kyrie did win with LeBron, but I think Kyrie has gotten hella full of himself since he won the championship with LeBron, and I don't think you can run real deep in the playoffs with a man. He's dope. He's a great player, fantastic, but I just don't think the game. He wants to push himself as hard physically, which is what you need late in the playoffs. You need somebody who's like, yo, I got a twisted ankle, but I'm still going to push through, which is terrible for the individual. I'm not going to act like that. I mean, this benefits the team, of course, but when you talk about winning from the championship, you're talking about putting it all on the line for the team. So in this instance, I don't think he's one to be like, yo, I sprained my ankle, but I'm going to push through. I'm going to still play. I'm going to still ball out. It's like, yo, he's got other interests and other avenues and other likes that he wants to do. So he's like, yo, I twisted my ankle. It's hurting. It's swollen. Yo, I don't feel like playing. Get me off of here. And people ask, like, yo, why didn't you play? Why'd you come out? He was like, yo, I hurt my leg. And it's like, yeah, but you could have got a shot. He's like, I could. It's like, no, nah, man, I'm trying to, keep my body how it is. Like, I'm not, like, that's just to me the type of person he comes off as, which is nothing wrong with that. It's like he's probably going to do more good as an individual who is has social interest and who's trying to better society. Don't get me wrong, but just specifically talking from a team winning a championship aspect, I mean, he might be a liability. So I feel like they would have to decide on trading Kyrie for somebody else, even though he's hella young. Like James Harden is getting old, KD is getting older, and he playing in the Olympics, which I thought was interesting for a guy coming off an injury to be playing in the Olympics. Like, bro, maybe you need to sit down. Like, maybe you need to, like, KD about to OD on all this playing time. Like, sit down, bro. Like, you need to just relax. But he want to go out there and play the game. He want to do his thing. It's like, I respect it, but like, let your body heal. You're still 1 year removed from Achilles injury, man. Like, I know you want to play for the Olympics, and we appreciate you here in the US of A, but like, calm down, bro. Like, it's going to be all right. Yeah, so anyway, NBA Finals. Rachel Nichols, I don't know if you guys have been following the story, seeing what's been going on in the NBA, but apparently Rachel Nichols racial rhetoric in regards to Maria Taylor, beautiful black queen reporter for she's gorgeous. Just like Roz, man. Roz Gold. Shouts out to the ballers over there. The WNBA players who've become reporters, man, like they have really been out there like busting their ass, like trying to really make a name for themselves and really carve out this niche, like just like retired NBA players do. Like, just they go into broadcast and they go into network TV, they go into become more of a personality. And the women have definitely carved out, like before it was female journalists, but female NBA players, retired NBA players, have definitely been coming in like, yo, we demand a market in this field. And shouts out to that. I respect it. It's like, I hope y'all respect my hat. It's a little small, I know, but I'm getting the swag on. Anyway, sorry, I keep changing the subject. Anyway, this racial rhetoric with Rachel Nichols against Maria Taylor. She said that essentially she doesn't feel like Maria Taylor should get the job because this is Disney just trying to give out a race hire, trying to give out a an alley-oop in the sense of basketball terms. Like, here in the past we've been bad. Here we want to make sure that we clean our image up. So here we'll put this black woman up front, and hopefully it makes us look all good and sweet and clean. And Rachel Nichols was just like, nah, man, y'all got just because y'all got a trash record, don't mean y'all can bring her on my show. Don't mean that she can be in my position. I worked too hard for this. I hustled my butt off. And then the guy was like, hey, I'm tired of this whole, Me Too and Black Lives Matter movement. And the guy is a spokesman or a media consultant for someone like who works with LeBron James, but works with a variety of celebrities. So it's not just LeBron, even though LeBron's been catching heat for it. And which was, by the way, the guy, when he said that, completely out of left field. If you haven't seen the video, go check out the video and then come back here. When he said that, homie was completely out of left field when he brought it up. Even I was like, what are you talking about? Like, what in the world would make you bring that up? But he just dropped that bombshell, like, which makes the conversation that much more confusing to me. She seemed to have called him for a professional opinion on what to do about Maria Taylor and how to approach it. And this guy's just firing off the cuff like it's, Saturday Night at the Apollo. Let me tell you about these blacks. Like, dude, what are you doing? You're supposed to be like, oh, yes, this is how you should respond to her. You should fight for your power. And you should really bring up, women empowerment. You're both are women and maybe you guys can go. But this guy just starts firing off like, man, let me tell you need, we are tired of this Black Lives Matter. I'm like, what? Listen, he was wound up, okay? Whoever this guy is that was interviewing her, when they were talking, apparently she left one of her mics on from her show, and it got everything. But yeah, I don't know what that was going on. But since the whole controversy went down, Rachel Nichols has been pulled from basically almost everything. I think she's still hosting her show, but everything in the NBA finals she's been pulled from. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Everything she's basically been pulled from. It's just like you just shot yourself in the foot. In every meaning of the word, she shot herself in the foot. Like, it was a conversation that didn't need to be had with a guy who you didn't need to talk to. It's just everything about the entire situation was just absolutely self-inflicted. And you got to think, like, you could have just shut up and just been absolutely fine with everything that was going on. Like, if you would have just had a conflict resolution situation, everything would have turned out just perfect. Sorry, I'm looking it up right here. Adam Mendelsohn, that's his name. He's a longtime advisor of superstar, LeBron James and agent Rich Paul. So they have a relation. They have some kind of relation, a working relationship together. And people have just been taking that and running with it and blaming it on LeBron. But that's neither here nor there. And Rachel Nichols has been getting in trouble for this, for what she said. And my whole thing is, you got to blame the guy, man. I mean, Rachel Nichols is not a talented reporter by any stretch of the imagination. She's basic. I mean, nothing about Rachel Nichols has ever seemed insightful. She definitely has an agenda on some of the topics that she chooses to pick for her show. She definitely chooses to, oh, well, let's focus on the crime. It's like, I thought you were a basketball TV show. Like, if you want to get into politics, let's get into politics. Like, let's actually talk about politics. But she just brings up random cases against players. She brings up just very agenda-based reporting that she seems to have, and very weird positions that she takes on certain players. So yeah, we'll bring that up. Even when Derrick Rose was in, I saw the report of her talking about Derrick Rose when he was coming back from injury. Once again, all this is Googleable, YouTubeable, which is probably where you're watching this. And thanks for watching on YouTube. Or if you're listening on the podcast, well, thanks for watching the podcast. Make sure you do both if you can, and follow me at Anonymous Rap Guy. I try to self-brand whenever I can, but Rachel Nichols, she's got to do better, man. Like, you. I mean, to me, I'm like, take her off the air. Like, no one's going to miss Rachel Nichols. Like, Maria Taylor actually played. Roz Gold actually played. Like, these are women who should probably have your spot, and the only reason that you have it is probably because you're position of power. I don't want to say privilege, but you are related to, I don't even want to say white privilege, just family privilege. You are related to somebody who's a powerhouse over at ABC. I believe her aunt, is it her aunt, Diane Sawyer? Yeah, so not trying to hate, just saying we're not gonna act like she's all that in a bag of chips when she could be replaced and taken off the air, especially from a self-inflicted wound, that she would have just shut up and maybe be humble and sat down. It would have worked out, but hey, you do you, boo boo. NBA season is wrapping up. Olympics are getting started. Unfortunately, the Olympics will not be having standout track star Sha'Carri Richardson. She tested positive for marijuana. It is legal in many of the states here in the U.S., but not legal in the Olympics at all whatsoever, because it's not legal worldwide, because it's still seen in certain places as a drug enhancement. I mean, it's a painkiller, so I guess if you're running, you can maybe get a certain advantage. Maybe they see it as a certain advantage in running and healing, and marijuana has certain medicinal benefits, so maybe they see it like that. And she won't be a participate, man, which sucks because she broke a bunch of records fast as heck. She was going viral, was the fastest woman in her pre-qualifiers, like was just looking fantastic everywhere. And unfortunately, either somebody in her team didn't tell her or she just wasn't aware, but she decided to partake in that greenery, and it messed her up. And while I personally don't care if someone smokes, I mean, don't make me no difference. Like, I don't. It is what it is. I even partake my time from time to time myself. But that, I mean, you have to know what you can and can't do. Like, I've worked jobs where you can't smoke. So it's like, I don't smoke. I much rather like the money coming in than the money coming out for, buying that. So it's just like, you have to, it just, whatever your situation is, and you have to have, hopefully have people in your corner who keep reminding you of that. And she didn't. She decided to partake. She said it was because of a family issue, which, I mean, I don't know how much of that is true, how much of that isn't true, that her a family member, her mother passed, and she was so sad and hurt and heartbroken that she decided to smoke. And that's totally understandable. Like, I don't think anybody would hear that and ever be like, yo, that's ridiculous. But you got rules and things that you have to follow being a world-class athlete, being in the Olympics, which makes you a world-class athlete. It puts you in a different tier than everybody else. Not most people can go and smoke something and can go and party and can do this, but it's like you're an Olympic class athlete, just like Michael Phelps. When he got in trouble for getting seen token, it's like you're a world-class athlete. You're seen as above and greater than. You're seen as a wholesome, perfect image. And while, like I say, this is just one specific aspect of the rules not working out in her favor. She's young, so I do hope that she can requalify, rededicate herself, and break all those records that she's supposed to break. But man, I really like the showmanship that she has. I really like the energy and the vibe that she shows. But she didn't make it this time. This isn't the end of the world. I know she can come back and do her thing. There's a whole bunch of Olympic comeback stories. So keep doing your thing, Sha'Carri Richardson. We believe in you, girl. Speaking of another girl that we believe in, there is the first. I had to look this up, man. This came out right before I started the show. A young girl out of Louisiana just won the National Spelling Bee, National 96th Scripps Spelling Bee, and she was the first African American girl to win it. Zyla Avant Garde. So, Garde. So, shouts out to her. I probably butchering her name. I always mess up people's names, so forgive me. But shouts out to you. We definitely appreciate you. I mean, breaking the mold. I wish this wasn't a story. I wish people would be like, oh, this is the ninth time that an African American girl has won this, and this is no big story. But breaking the mold, being a standout, being a kid that sets the mold, sets the tier, lets these other African Americans kids know, like, hey, you can be first. Like, I was the first to do it, so hey, you follow behind me. And I don't know how fair that is, but it's realistic. Like, I really wish that it wasn't a story. It would be great if this was just another run of the deal. Like, oh, just another kid won it. Oh, but first ever. Like, then you have to ask, like, when did they start actually allowing African Americans or people who are not Caucasian to be in this spelling bee? That's the real question that you should be asking. But anywho, those are questions for another day. Speaking of questions, this one's gonna get a little personal. This one is about the whole Britney Spears situation, man, and her conservatorship. If you're not familiar, Britney Spears is going through a little bit of a situation where she doesn't control a majority of the independence of her life that you would hope to have as a 30, 40-year-old woman. She doesn't have any say over the money that's spent. She doesn't have any say over where the places she lives, over the jobs that she takes, over the medicine that she like, and she's forced IED. I believe it's an IED, but forced birth control essentially. And she's trying to get out of this conservatorship. Her dad is the trustee essentially, who runs everything, who makes all of the major decisions. She says he's controlling her life, which I mean, this is a woman who I feel like you should believe. Like if she is saying my life is living hell, please help me. That's something that you have to at least look into. And if it's her money, you have to at least grant her that right. Here in America, here in America, all about capitalism, all about individual freedom. I'm all about like, hey, you should be able to have your money and do with it whatever you want. I mean, it's not right to have somebody control like a major portion of your independence, like not even independent. All you can do is choose where you shit. That's essentially, and I'm guessing she gets an allowance like that. It's ridiculous. With that being said, I don't know if y'all remember Britney Spears when she was going through her mental breakdown, but this is a very tricky situation, in my opinion. Like everybody is, because the father hasn't necessarily spoken out, it's all been testimony from court documents. And Britney got to issue hers first, so everybody kind of like fed on that. And of course, Britney Spears fans are going to be sympathetic to Britney Spears. I'm always thinking of the "Leave Britney Alone" guy who went viral back in the day, back when the internet was a wee baby. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's just nostalgia. God, it's like the 90s, man. When you talk about early 2000s, how the night people think about the 90s, how I think about the 90s. Crazy times, man. 90s, it's about to be just the era, like the 90,000s. Like it's just gonna be that like 20-year period between 89 and 2009. That's a 30-year period, man. Because I'm going to include 90 and all the way to, 2009. Like, that was a crazy time period. 2009, when you look back on it, that was the Wild Wild West, man. Those were the days. Those were the days. Oh, God. Unregulated internet. Man, I love it. I freaking love it. But, it's definitely a delicate situation. It's just not as cut and dry and as black as white as everybody thinks, man. Like the judge just denied her request because she's unable to reject scams or people with undue influence. So she's unable to tell the difference between somebody trying to scam her or somebody trying to take advantage of her. And the judge felt like, hey, this is too much for you, so we still have to keep the conservatorship. And while I do feel like she should have more freedom and people should look into how she's being treated, if a judge is saying this, like, you don't want to give her her, like, I know, because this isn't going to be the end of it. Even if she's still stuck in the conservatorship, I'm sure this is going to get brought up over and over again, and things are going to change. And I really just hope people are caring for Brittany's mental health. I really hope she gets to choose her own doctors and choose her own nurses and choose the type of medicine that she's allowed to take and choose at least a larger portion of her freedom that she can have, because I think it's ridiculous to have this woman, this grown ass woman, stuck being made decisions for and being treated like a baby. And at the same time, I don't think someone who went through the same type of mental stresses and history of questionable choices. Well, not questionable choices, but the outcomes have led to psychological trauma. Like I feel like you become, if you choose to become a pop star and you get exposed to that, it's like you get exposed to all types of crazy stresses, crazy road tours, crazy fans, crazy paparazzi, crazy everything. You throw that in with the money on top of that, mixed in with all the other personalities you have around you. And it wouldn't be ridiculous to say that she had a mental break and that she does need somebody to at least care for her on the day to day. And, you know, what that care looks like, I don't know. But to just, you know, to release her from this conservatorship and then just say, hey, here's all your money, here's your whole estate, here's everything, after she hasn't had it for so many years. And to also just say, hey, we're going to unregulate you, take you off all medicine, take you off all kinds of things that have helped to keep you stable, and just let you go. I feel like that could be very mentally damaging to her. But at the same time, you can't keep her in the same situation she's in. This situation definitely deserves to be monitored and definitely could have a huge impact on people with mental health and how they are treated in as far as legal filings. Because I thought for a long time, once you give over your right, your power of attorney or your ability to make decisions for yourself, like legally, once you sign that away, man, it is hard. I mean, it's impossible to get it back unless that person is willing to sign it back. And if it's in a situation where it's millions and millions and millions of dollars, that could be kind of difficult. So I wish her all the luck in the world. I really hope this situation gets worked out. I really hope that Brittany finds some happiness and some peace, because she definitely deserves it after, giving her so much of herself to the people for so many years, touring and making so many albums. Like Britney Spears was the 90s. Like she was that girl. She was it. She was that it pop star back then. And yeah, man, she deserves to have that peace of mind, that rest. You know what I mean? Put your feet up, enjoy. She deserves the. I was gonna say the kind of love Sade got, but we not gonna go there. Sade got decades on her and classics on her. So I'm gonna just shut up and I'm gonna get ready to get out of here, man. I wish y'all peace, love, happiness. Kind, be dope, but more important than anything else, man, be yourself. This is Anonymous, and I'm out. Catch y'all next time, man. I missed y'all. I'll be back again next week on Saturday, man. We doing the Saturday thing. Peace.